We're going to look at Psalm 27 tonight, today, this afternoon, right now. Kind of thinking about what to share, and my wife and I were talking a little bit about this psalm, so I decided to look at this psalm. So let's just read it first, and I'll make some comments. Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. Round about me, therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So this psalm is a psalm of David, and kind of looking at some, a basic outline of this psalm, few verses, David's expressing his confidence in the Lord in verses 1 through 6. And then in verses 7 through 12, he's praying for continued victory. And the Lord has given him victory, and he's talking about that. And then in the last couple of verses, he talks of his waiting on the Lord. This is a psalm of David, of course. And a couple of things. The first verse I just wanted to talk about, he says, there's three things he mentions in there. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation," is the second thing. And then he says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." You know, thinking of the Lord, thinking of the light, the Lord is my light. There's some verses in Psalm 119 that come to mind, right away. In Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, what does a light do, right? If we didn't have light, it would be dark, right? So the light will dispel, all darkness. And the Lord is my light. He kind of guides and directs, he opens up and lights the path. Also, you think of salvation. Salvation speaks of, kind of the defeat of all your adversaries. The Lord is my salvation. I'm thinking of the Lord who is almighty and all-powerful, coming to him, the Lord will defeat, he saves you from all the enemies. I wanted to look at Exodus 15, just a few verses in Exodus 15, thinking about the Lord is my salvation. This is the song of Moses, and Exodus 15, verse 1, he says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." And Moses says, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name." And he goes on to talk about Pharaoh's chariots and how the Lord overthrew all of Pharaoh's army. Moses and Israel, they were pretty much you know, had gotten taken out of Egypt at that point, and now they were between the sea and between the hills, and here comes Pharaoh's army coming after them, and they're hot and mad, and they want to get them. It seemed pretty hopeless, but yet then the Lord, of course, God splits open the sea. Who would think, you know? And then they were able to walk across on dry land. And then God, of course, then after they all get through, Pharaoh's army pursues, and they didn't make it. And, you know, this is quite an amazing thing. I sometimes think of, what if you were there? What would you have thought walking through this water on either side? You're on dry land. This is incredible. I mean, more than incredible. You know, there's only one way that could have happened is if God had done it. You know, and Moses kind of sings about this. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. In verse 11 there of Exodus 15, he says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders?" And he goes on again to talk about how he stretched out the right hand and the earth swallowed him up. And Moses saw a lot of things happen. And the children of Israel did too. And, you know, of course, we wonder sometimes, why did they ever go against God when they saw what, you know, God had done? But salvation, the Lord is my salvation. And then strength, you know, again, strength kind of speaks of, you know, for here, you know, it's kind of victory against, you know, all assaults. When anybody would come against the Lord God, there was only one winner every time, and it was God, or whoever was on God's side. And the Lord is my strength. In Isaiah 12:2, just want to read that verse in a minute. Isaiah 12:2, it says, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. And then down in verse 5, he says, Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One in Israel, of Israel, in the midst of thee. I was just thinking of just this verse right here, those three words, the light, salvation, and strength, and, you know, the praises that we see in the Psalms of the Lord God, and, you know, and all throughout the Bible, there's so many praises. We could probably spend a whole day here looking up all the verses where the Lord is praised and what He has done, you know, just even in the Psalms, but, you know, many places where folks give the Lord the credit and they sing to Him. And how grateful, you know, certainly we can be to the Lord for the strength and salvation. Of course, we think of salvation, I think of, is, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for us. You know, that was kind of the ultimate foe, right? Death. Each one of us is going to die, a physical death for sure. And each one of us was born destined to be condemned to death in hell. But if it were for the Lord Jesus Christ, He came and He overcame death. And to those who believe in Him and trust in Him, you know, we have salvation. And what a great thing that is. You know, even we talk about, you know, salvation against enemies and physical things here on earth, but really it's, you know, the salvation from sin that we have. That's the greatest thing. I would go on a little bit more about David, but I was thinking of another thing, just reading a little bit. I also want to liken this, you know, this chapter. One commentator, and I want to kind of follow this thought pattern a little bit. One commentator also mentioned, you know, these could have been Jesus' thoughts prior to his death there in Calvary. So I want to look kind of at each verse and look at how that might be. You know, when Jesus was in the garden, they came to take him, and then in Luke 22, verse 53, he had said at the end of that verse there, he said, this is when they all came trying to take him. I'll read verse 52. So Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come against to him, it says, Be ye come out against the thief as with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. They said, But this is your hour and the power of darkness. You know, the Lord Jesus had said that, but, you know, maybe when he was saying that, he was also thinking about the, you know, the Lord is my light. Here he was This is their power, hour of darkness. We get the Lord Jesus Christ is the light. And of course, salvation and strength are found in the Lord. And then in John 18, I'm going to look at a few verses from John 18. John 18, verse 6. Says, as soon as he had said unto them, this is, of course, they came and said, Jesus asked, whom do you seek? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I am he. Of course, that's kind of referring to the great I am. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. But as soon as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. So when we read verse 2, it says, when the wicked, of Psalm 27, it says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Jesus said, I am. And they all fell backwards. Now, personally, I would have thought at that point, I would have kind of hightailed it out of there. When this man spoke and I couldn't stand up myself, yeah, I'm still trying to go after him. But yet Jesus said, I am, and they all fell. This goes right along with this verse 2. They stumbled and they fell. In John 18, verse 3, Judas, then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, they came with their lanterns and torches and weapons. You know, though the gang came to take him, these troops and officers and so forth, and even a supposed friend came to take him, Jesus probably was thinking, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. The Lord Jesus thinking of these verses. John 18:11. He says, of course, this is when Peter took his sword. He says, Simon Peter, having his sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword in thy sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink of it? You know, Peter tried to defend the Lord Jesus Christ against these folks. But Jesus says, you know, my cup that the Father has given me, you know, I need to drink of it. In verse 4 here, in Psalm 27, it says, one thing. And, you know, the thing with people who have one thing on their mind, when you have one thing on your mind, that's pretty much your goal, right? Like if your goal is to find your glasses that you lost, you really can't think about anything else because that's the one thing on your mind. You'll go through and search everything until you find that one thing. Well, Jesus Christ, He came here to earth with one thing in mind. And in the end, that was to go to Calvary. Jesus says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in the temple. they were searching for Jesus, but Jesus had one thing on his mind, and, you know, the cross wasn't going to stand in his way. Jesus' one thing was to glorify the Lord, to come and to, you know, be lifted up, that those that look to him would have salvation. In John 18:12, it says, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, led him away. In verse 5 of chapter 27 of the Psalm, it says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. They came and they took him, they bound him, and then they did a whole lot of other things to him. You know, perhaps it may have seemed like a lost cause, but, you know, Jesus Christ was sitting in the protection of his Father. And God promises that to those who love him. Psalm 42 says, Psalm 40 verse 2 says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You know, Jesus, I know he was God in the flesh, but he was also resting in his Father and the protection that was really there. But, you know, the Lord Jesus knew that he had to come, what he came for. Or perhaps he was thinking of those things too. You know, finding strength in what those words. And verse 6 of chapter 27 of Psalm says, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord. My head shall be lifted up above my enemies. In John, again, we read in John, 13 through and on, it talks about, Caiaphas, he was the high priest that year, and he had said that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. You know, and in the end, Jesus was going to be lifted up between heaven and earth, hanging there on the cross. He's going to be hanging there on a cross. But, Jesus wasn't looking to that lifting up. He was looking to another lifting up, the one of being lifted up high above the heavens and being sitting at the right hand of his Father on high. Though my head shall be lifted up above mine enemies, but he says, I will sing praises unto the Lord. In Matthew 26, I'm going to read this verse. Matthew 26, verse 64. Jesus, when Caiaphas was questioning him, Jesus says, Caiaphas says, because Jesus was being quiet, and the high priest, which was Caiaphas, says, I adjure thee by the living God that thou should tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you hereafter, ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of the heaven. But again, though Christ was going to be lifted up, he knew where his rightful position was going to be. Was much higher than just, 6 or 8 feet off the ground there. We continue on here in verse 9 in Psalm 27. He says, Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. I'm wondering if the Lord Jesus thought of these verses. The disciples had forsaken him. They all had fled. God was his help in the past. God was always there. But I also think of those verses when Jesus was on the cross and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I wonder, were some of these things going through his mind? Verse 11 and 12 says, Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of thine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Of course, we can remember when Christ was standing before the Sanhedrin and all that, and the kangaroo court of the chief priests and so forth. It says the chief priests, this is in Matthew, the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. And at last two came, and they said, this fellow said, and they go on to accuse him falsely. They didn't even actually get it right. But they accused him. It was a sham trial, but perhaps the Lord Jesus was thinking of this verses in 11 and 12. Deliver me not unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and they breathe out cruelty. Lord could take comfort in those words, knowing that these things were going to happen. And we go again to Matthew 27, verses 22 and 23. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And they all said, Look unto him, let him be crucified. Pilate says, What evil has he done? But they cried out more, saying, Let him be crucified. You have the whole mob here being incited. And yet the Lord says, I fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. By the Lord in his flesh, any of us would have probably fainted or given up at that point. But yet, Jesus Christ knew what the outcome was going to be. He could take courage, take comfort in those things. And it's kind of hard to say, he could take courage and comfort in these things because yet, speak of Jesus, he's God. He's God, sometimes we try to equate him as a man, but yet, he's not, he was a man in the flesh, but he was God in the spirit. But yet, there was pain that he was going to endure on the cross. And even though these people hated him and mocked him, and now he has the whole mob yelling, crucify him, the Lord was looking forward to the goodness when he'd be sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. And in verse 14 of Psalm 27, maybe these were the parting last words of the Lord to us or the things that he thought, but we can take thought of these too. But it says, Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I want to read Psalm 31:24. It says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." And then who can forget in Joshua? Joshua 1 says, Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And he says, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps in Psalm 27, was thinking of those two. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I think that's a good thing for each of us to remember. We certainly live in troublous times. There's certainly some days that are better, some days that seem more hopeful than others. But really, the end of it, if you read God's word, you know where the end is going to come. The Lord's going to return. There's going to be a great tribulation. And the Lord promises us or says that you may be persecuted. More than likely, at some point, you may be persecuted. But yet, be strong. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen our heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So anyway, I just thought those were kind of interesting. I'm sure some others could probably be a little more eloquent than I am, but just thinking of these verses, I can kind of see the Lord the whole way through and perhaps taking comfort in some of these words. So I'll just close with a word of prayer. Do you want to sing another song? Or yes? Okay, we'll sing one more maybe. Here, I'll just pray real quick. Dear Lord, we thank you for the word you have given us, Lord. I pray that you would help each one of us to wait on the Lord and to let you direct our paths. Lord, we know that the world is full of darkness, full of evil, but yet you are the light. And even as we think of in Revelation, when we hear about the heaven and that there's no light, because Jesus is the light of the place. And Lord, we just thank you for him and how when we follow him, you help make our paths straight. You light up our way. And Lord, help us to be strong of good courage and to look to the Lord in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.